part where they're like, you really look good. Just like her. And then she...
But it's Julia
the
Roberts.
Whole bit about Julia Roberts.
I just thought 12 was like the cleverest one. It was just,
12 was very cool.
It was just really clever.
The heist was already done the whole time.
I still don't know which channel I'm on because I can't tell which one's peaking.
Channel 3, CFCN. News coverage.
Is it still called CFCN?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, like, remember back when Global was called Channel 2 and 7 U?
No.
Yeah, that was back when you had Peasant Vision and Cable and like the numbers were different. So like CFCN was Channel 4, I think, for Peasant Vision and 3 for Cable. And Channel 7 was 2 for Peasant Vision. And so it was...
I have never been a peasant.
It was the... Well, I was.
You grew up in Okotoks.
I was going to say...
With Cable.
Yeah. Exactly. That really X-Men? Hasn't anything but a peasant. But
Would we watch wrestling on Peasant Vision?
But speaking of peasants, hello all you out there in podcast land.
You were...
Welcome to the Geek Stampede Weekly Roundup.
Bring me a surf.
Episode 3 of the week. I don't know.
Hang 10 on a surf, bro.
We missed a week last week because everyone bailed except for me and Hyde. And by the time she said she could make it, I had already bailed. Ryan was getting breast reduction surgery. Rob was at playing a show, I think.
I was actually bailing. Hey.
You were bailing, hey, yeah. Yeah, we went through this whole thing, and then eventually she said, oh, I wasn't sure, she wasn't sure she could make it. And then eventually, like, all right, I just canceled it and was going about my business. And then she texted and said, I can still make it. I'm like, oh, please don't, I won't be there. The show's not happening. Everyone else bailed. But that is beside the point because we're here now. I'm Joey G. Joining me this week, we have Robbie G.
Hello.
And going around the horn, we have Ryan Heff.
Hi.
And earlier, as mentioned, the eponymous Hyde is here.
The eponymous?
Yeah, the eponymous.
You're eponymous?
Eponymous
Bosch.
A
hip-hop-eponymous?
Eponymous Bosch?
Hip-hop-eponymous. I'm the hip-hop-eponymous.
I'm the mother-flippin'. Rhamnosaurus.
I'm still trying to find this person. I think he just made her up.
What are you talking about?
The person from Ocean's 12.
Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Barkin. She's in Ocean's 13, not 12.
Oh, that's why.
Julia Roberts is in 12 and 11.
I think it's K-I-N.
Oh.
You know what I think they should do? They should, like, now go back and start from 10 and then go, like, 10, 9, 8.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to 1.
Yeah. So it's just George Clooney
robbing. No. It's just the little Asian guy.
That guy's awesome.
Just him doing backflips.
Yeah, it's just him, like, flipping.
You know what's weird? It's
Cirque du Soleil with that guy.
Didn't he say he wasn't going to make any more because Bernie Mac died?
He's not going to make any more because he's not making movies anymore. Steven Soderbergh retired from filmmaking.
I thought it was because
Bernie Mac died.
I always
thought
that's
why he retired.
Because I
also
was like
doubt they were
the
make
like
anymore,
least needed person in those movies is Bernie Mac.
All right, you're not wrong, but show some respect to Bernie Mac.
He's on the page, the IMDb, the first photo. Yeah. It's clearly integral.
I love the Bernie Mac show.
Fan. I like that show as well.
You know who was cool in that movie? Scott Kahn.
Who?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the guy who's on Hawaii 5-0 now, right?
And Casey Affleck. I always forget Casey Affleck's in that movie.
Casey Affleck? Hey, what happened? Casey Affleck was good, super popular for a while. He was in a bunch of movies, and now what the hell's he been doing?
He's gone, baby. Gone.
Hey, I watched that. Isn't that a really tough
gone,
movie
baby,
to watch?
Gone? That's a good movie.
What do you mean? What would be tough to watch about
it? It's like, it's really...
Like, that it's sad, or that it's like...
Why? But I don't know.
It's all your copy is scratched. It's just like...
It was on
Netflix. Skips all,
okay. Every time he tries to watch it...
It just buffers for like 20 minutes?
No. Assault him.
This is really difficult to get through this movie.
I watched it, and then I remember talking to Brett about
it. He was in Ain't Them Body Saints. I saw that.
And then I was like, Brett, I don't know how I feel about this movie. And he's like, right?
Apparently he's
the ending because the ending is
the
really
ending
upsetting.
Is really
apparently he's in that space movie that
Interstellar.
Yeah, apparently he's
I kind of want to see that.
Gravity.
It's really good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Except the ending's really disappointing.
Is it?
For me because
it just seems long. When they give Chris Nolan too much money, it seems like he just makes long, bloated movies that he could probably cut down a little bit.
I just think that. Every movie that I've seen of Christopher Nolan, John Nolan's his brother and the guitar player for Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah, the guy who writes most of his movies.
Right. I feel like they're always attempting to really say this grand, beautiful, sweeping sentiment that's really, really, there's a lot of substance to it, but ultimately there's
like what?
Nothing. Like, I don't know. I feel like Memento is really trying to say something about the mark that you leave.
I don't think Memento's trying to say anything. I think Memento's just trying to be cool.
But
that's why Memento works, I think, because it doesn't have, like, a really huge theme. It's more just, like, that movie it's still a cool movie even without its gimmick, but that movie lives and dies on its gimmick. Luckily, it's a really cool gimmick that works on repeat viewings. Same with The Prestige. Like, The Prestige has a cool
gimmick. I love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
I was talking about that movie with somebody.
Honestly, like...
David Bowie.
All of Chris Nolan's movies, until he started getting gargantuan budgets, his Batman movies are the only ones he's made that I don't like very much. Like even Inception is really good, despite probably being a bit too long and having that high school twist at the end where it's like, is it a dream or not? Like, it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? Why do you have to put that in the movie?
Did you ever see Paprika?
I love Paprika. It's Natasha Cohn.
Yeah. I've never seen Inception, but like every time someone describes Inception, I'm like, it sounds like Paprika.
It's a little... Paprika's way more interesting and way better, but Inception's just like a really cool action movie that... Inception reminds me of Lucy, in a way. The movie Lucy, that Scarlett Johansson movie, because...
Was that cool?
I liked it a lot, because... And one of the reviews I read of it described it perfectly. It said, it's either the dumbest smart movie ever or the smartest dumb movie ever. And I think Inception is similar. Like, Inception's preposterously stupid, but in a very smart way. Or else it's incredibly, incredibly smart in the dumbest way possible.
I felt like it was a movie that just made dumb people think they were smart because they understood.
Yeah, like...
It's like me, because I got it.
It's
kind of
like, okay, I'm gonna like subtly insult Rob here. It's like people who think Arrested Development season 4 is good because it's complicated. It's like, yeah, our timelines are really hard. I also just heard that Mitch Hurwitz is like, yeah, I'm gonna re-release it so that in the chronological order, so you can watch it without it being all mixed up. I'm like, really? So there's still no jokes. Now you're just taking away the only thing that was even remotely interesting about your shitty season. I'm being a little bit facetious because I know how much Rob likes season 4 of Arrested Development.
For the record, why are you being so upfront about your timelines being hard?
Is this a dick joke? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
No, it didn't work.
No.
It didn't work.
You know what, though? I appreciate the effort.
No, you shouldn't.
No, because you know what? You put yourself out there, Ryan. You're a beautiful failure is what you are. You're like...
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I feel like that's an Our Lady Peace song.
You're like a Guy Ritchie movie. It's like, he's not really capable of doing anything, but at least he's trying.
I like him.
I like one Guy Ritchie movie.
Is it Snatch?
It's Snatch. Yeah. Snatch is really good. And that's why
somebody
else made Snatch, and Guy Ritchie beat the shit out of him in an alley and put his name on the movie.
Lockstock is okay.
Lockstock is okay. I like Lockstock. But Snatch is really good. And then, like, he goes from pretty good, really good, and then dog shit ever
no,
since.
No, he did that movie with Madonna that was...
Swept
Away. Excellent.
Have you even seen Swept
No!
Away?
I just knew that. I'm not even sure if that's the movie I'm talking about.
I have seen Swept Away. And I don't know why.
Do you wish you would have swept that movie away?
No, here's the thing. Swept Away is the least bad of all of his bad movies. Because Swept Away is just completely forgettable. There's just nothing there whatsoever. But then
ironically, that was the only one Brian remembered.
Yes, I know. Then you get Revolver, which is a movie Inception, only way stupider. And Revolver was like Guy Ritchie being like, yeah, this movie is like complicated and like interesting. It's like, no, it's just very stupid.
Are you saying Guy Ritchie is like the Mark Millar of movies?
Very much so. That's a very good, very apt. And then he made Rock and Rolla, which is the biggest fucking train wreck of a movie. Like, I sometimes like a good train wreck movie, but this one just, like, annoyed me to no end.
What is your favorite train wreck movie? The one with Denzel? There we go. Yeah. I like that movie.
That is a really good movie.
That
was the last movie Tony Scott made before he died.
Mm-hmm. Same
and I was
with
always
Chris
kind of
Pine.
Hit and miss with Chris. Yeah, it was the last movie Chris Pine made before Tony Scott died.
You know what I never knew until, like, about a month ago?
What?
Chris Pine was... what's the movie? I was about to say Chris Pine was in that movie.
Star Trek.
No.
Which means war.
No, it's the one, and it's got, like, everybody's in it. It's got, like,
it's a mad, mad, mad world.
No, where they're in the hotel in Lake Tahoe.
Cannonball
Ocean's
Run.
11. No.
Oh,
Smoking
Aces.
Chris Pine's in Smoking Aces.
Horrible movie.
I like that movie.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The second one is horrible, though.
I can't believe there's a second one. I went and saw Smoking Aces in the theater, because I was like, this sounded like my kind of a movie. Mm-hmm. I like those kind of somewhat funny but cool crime movies that are more just, like, stylish than smart or anything. And I liked everybody who was in it. Ben Affleck dies in, like, the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm watching it. It makes no sense. It's horribly made. Then there's this scene at the end where there's this huge fight in a hotel lobby or in a hotel room. And everything's in slow motion.
Inception.
Very similar. But then, in slow motion, for no reason, a guy in the background runs by and he's on fire.
Sounds like a great movie.
I haven't seen it in a while.
All of a sudden, this guy, and I just remember like looking to my friend at the theater, like, who the fuck is that guy? And how did he get on fire? What is happening? This was even before I knew who Jason Mantzoukas was, so I couldn't even be going, what is happening? But that's how I felt. I got out of that movie. And that same day, we also saw a Chris Rock movie called I Think I Love My Wife, which was bad. And they get to the end, and all of a sudden, in a movie that was not this at all, it becomes a musical. The last scene, Chris Rock and his wife, who is the pilot, the girl from Firefly who's married to the pilot.
Oh.
What's her name? She's also a Notch in the Middle, wasn't she?
Mrs. Pilot.
I think it's somebody else. You know who I'm talking about, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't remember her name, though. She was also
She's married to Lawrence Fishburne.
Is she?
Yeah.
But in Firefly, she's the one who's married to Wash, who's the only character I can ever remember the name of on that show.
She was in Hannibal, too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Anyway, her. What was I saying about
her?
She's
in Suits.
She plays the wife in I Think I Love My Wife. And then at the end, after all this stuff happens, they both burst into song, and then the movie ends. It is the weirdest thing ever. I'm like,
but I like stuff like that.
I like when movies burst into song, but the movie itself wasn't very good.
Oh my god.
It was just about Chris Rock being like, I think I won't cheat on my wife. Maybe. I don't know. Watch and find out. And then I think he kind of does, but then doesn't, and then he runs home and they sing.
Hey, can we talk about They Came Together? Because that movie's amazing.
They Came Together is one of the funniest.
That movie is so funny.
Are you familiar with this film?
Oh my god. David Wayne.
So this is, you're familiar with David Wayne. David Wayne is a comedy writer. He was on The State. He made, like, Wet Hot American Summer and, like, Role Models and some Wanderlust, I think, was one of his more recent ones that I didn't see.
Yeah, I didn't see them.
But anyway, They Came Together is a parody of romantic comedies, with basically every funny person in the world is in this movie at some point. But it stars Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler. And it is probably the funniest movie I've seen in a long time.
You could say that again. Tell me about
that part. I was laughing.
There's a scene where Paul Rudd goes into a bar and the bartender goes just like, boy, you don't look so good. He goes, tell me about it. He's like, well, you haven't said much since you came in here, and that's the second drink you've ordered. You can say that again. Well, you haven't said much since you came in here, and that's the second drink you ordered. Tell me about it. Well, you haven't said much. And they do that like 19 times. It's insane.
The Fargo thing.
It's so funny.
It's
a really funny movie. Like, it's ridiculous.
There's a really great moment towards the end that's kind of out of nowhere with the guy from Boardwalk Empire just running down a sidewalk with a gigantic machete.
Machete, because he was screaming at everybody.
Isn't that like Zod?
Yeah,
Michael Shannon. Yeah.
The other part I like, there's a scene, I always forget his name, but he's occasionally in comedy, but usually I know him because he's on one of the Law and Orders, I think, or maybe one of the CSIs. I can't tell. Anyway, he's a guy who usually plays a cop in a serious show. And he plays these characters' bosses, and there's this one ridiculous
scene
where
Superman too.
Yeah, where he ends up shitting in his superhero costume, Halloween costume, and it's just because he can't get his suit off, and he ends up. So then later on, he's sitting in a bathrobe with like a cap on, and it's just like, why is your superhero costume in the bathroom filled with shit? And he's like, I don't know. And basically, he claims that somebody must have stolen my costume and shit in it to frame me, and I'm not going to sit here and listen to you all disparage me. And then he leaves and slams the door, and Jason Mantzoukas goes, who do you think it was?
No,
it's the guy from SVU.
Yeah.
He was on an episode of Comedy Bang Bang where he shrinks down and goes
into
Scott Aukerman's
Pulap Vilayasack and somebody else.
I can't remember the name. That's
Pretty
funny. This is my kind of thing.
The best is later when he's playing like the big bad boss, and then Bill Hader goes, this is still the guy who shit himself at Halloween, right?
Yeah, because the whole like framing sequence of the movie is that it's Bill Hader and his wife, who's played by the girl who's from The Office, who became the receptionist.
Ellie Kemper.
Thank you. I always forget her name. I always forget her name, and she's really funny.
Whose name?
Exactly. No, and
who's on
they're having dinner with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, and so Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler are telling the story of how they met. And the story of their relationship. It's like New York is a character in our story. Anyway, it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah. I like it more than Wet Hot American Summer.
It's funny.
I think I do too.
The first
Wet Hot's
time,
pretty funny, but that movie.
The first time I watched Wet Hot American Summer, I actually thought it was just going to be like a 90s,
you thought it was going to be Meatballs?
Growing up.
But then
movie.
David Hyde Pierce, for no reason, just shrieks at Janine Garofalo when she asks, like, what he does for a living. That's none of your goddamn business!
Who is the character who loves the fridge in that movie?
Oh, it's the guy from SVU.
That's him.
Christopher Maloney.
Because that character
Maloney.
Is so funny.
That's
I'm just going to go hump the fridge.
What? I remembered his name.
You said you were going to hump the fridge. What? No, I didn't.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what you said. No.
He's in Superman.
What was
he's like the army guy.
Oh yeah, that's right. I like him. But he doesn't like. He's funny. I like when people are like really funny, but usually play serious roles. Yeah, John Hamm is a perfect example of like an amazing dramatic actor who's also fucking hilarious in comedy.
What's his name from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
The Benign Nine.
The Benign.
You talking about Terry?
No.
The Andre Brower.
Yeah, there we go.
And he's Sam.
He's like the funniest part of that show.
Oh, he is. And Andre Brower was like for years was on Homicide: Life in the Street. Yeah.
And he's so straight and like, he's so funny on that show.
The cast of What American Summer is amazing.
Yep,
except for Jeanine Garofalo.
I love Jeanine Garofalo.
I like Jeanine Garofalo. I don't like
she's
I
don't so funny.
I don't like her for some reason.
What did you say?
Did you say that?
He also made The Ten.
Oh yeah, The Ten is really good. Did you ever see The Ten?
Yeah. I didn't.
The
Ten is more sketch comedy. Sketches.
Have you ever seen? Have you seen Stella's stuff?
Stella's very Stella good. Stuff?
It's really funny.
No, what's that?
It's like David Wayne and Michael Showalter and Michael Ian Black.
Oh, really?
Like a comedy show.
Yeah, it was on Comedy Central.
They had a show that I remember. This is weird. I remember watching it when I was in like Phoenix when I was like 14 maybe or 15 or something, because it was on VH1 I think, and it was really funny because I was like they're making jokes about butts and stuff. I don't know.
I never saw Stella. I've seen bits of...
You remember where you saw it, specifically to Phoenix, but...
I can't remember
so
why.
Was Stella
I just remember I liked it because there's butts.
After The State?
Yes.
Yeah, The State was good.
Yeah.
State was really... The State was a sketch comedy show on MTV in the mid-90s.
I was wrong. I found out about Michael Ian Black when I was
born in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it was probably... It ended in 95, so...
I was born in 95.
There you go. Yeah.
See,
I didn't watch it in its first run because I was eight when it ended.
I didn't watch Stella when I was in Phoenix. I watched, I can't remember what show it was called, but it was something on VH1, kind of like Best Week Ever, where it was just like, no, it was like one of those shows where they talk about, like, they get a bunch of comedians to, like, make jokes about stuff.
Oh, yeah, like, remember basically. The 80s and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and, that was it.
Is that what it was?
And Michael Ian Black was one of the people. I remember thinking he was, like, really funny.
Michael Ian Black was a podcast with Michael Showalter.
Topics.
Really?
It's called Topics. It's really good.
I should check that out. I like Michael Ian Black.
He's
really funny in
The State was so funny. All those people have gone on to be, like, incredibly funny comedians.
That entire scene where Paul Rudd comes home and Kobe Smulders and Michael Ian Black are having, like, insanely loud sex, and he's, like, giving his engagement speech.
And he keeps going, like,
his proposal speech.
Tiffany?
Yeah.
Tiffany? Hello?
Tiffany?
You can't even describe that show. You just have to see that movie.
It's
like,
the most ridiculous movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be just, like, a... romantic comedy.
So why, Kate, you may know the answer to this question since we're talking about TV comedy. Why did the league burn off like the last three episodes of its season in one night?
I don't know. I haven't.
The last episode is like an hour long, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not just one episode. That's the thing. The last, like, episode 11, 12, and 13 all aired like yesterday.
I haven't even watched 11.
I haven't either. The last one I watched was 9. Or 8, actually. What was 9?
9 was the one where, Andre gets assaulted by his cat in the elevator, I think.
I haven't seen that one then.
Where it's like the Ray Rice thing, but it's like,
oh, really?
His cat. And I'm shocked that they went there, but I mean, I'm not. But it's all about like Andre in an abusive relationship with his cat.
With his cat.
It's really
What's
funny.
The name of that cat again?
I can't.
It's something so
it's not,
funny.
It's like Missy.
It's
or
Milady
something.
Or
Milady,
something. Yeah,
Milady,
his cat's name is Milady. That's a good show. This season has been by far its worst season, though. There's been some really funny moments, but there's also been some episodes that are just...
I only watched the first two episodes, and
like
Seth Morris is in the second, and I was really happy.
Yeah, Seth Morris is in every once in a while.
Seth Morris is in everything. Seth Morris is in an episode of It's Always Sunny, and he sells them a boat.
He's on that new show, The Hot Wives of Orlando. He plays... I really suck at remembering people's names tonight. She was on The Office. She was the blonde girl who dated Dwight.
She was in Ocean's 13.
Angela, thank you. Whatever that actress's name is.
It's probably Angela because
I don't
like,
think it's actually.
They always go with
on
the
Office.
Name.
They always have
Creed
like,
Bratton's name
is
in
Creed
real life
Bratton.
Is Creed Bratton,
and he was in like a band that had a one-hit wonder in the '60s.
Really,
Ocean's 13.
Yep. No, Creed Bratton's had like the weirdest life.
But The Hot Ones of Orlando has Casey Wilson and Andrea Savage, Timberly Hill, who plays Fei Fei, who's really funny. Her name is Angela. Yeah, Angela Kinsey, and Christian Shaw's on it as well. But like. The husbands of those characters are like Matt Besser, Joey McIntyre, Seth Morris, Stephen Tobolowsky, who is so funny on it. I love Stephen Tobolowsky. You'd know him if you saw him. He's this guy.
Oh, I know him.
He's in a billion
I've
things,
seen
including
him.
Memento. bringing it back.
Words.
Okay, the weird thing is that this podcast has been happening in reverse as well.
We're talking about comedy.
Yeah, this was the end from the beginning.
And I wanted to talk about this last week when it was still somewhat topical, but we didn't record last week and no one listens to our show anyway, so we can talk about it this week. I want to talk about how fucking brilliant Too Many Cooks is.
I only watched it once, and it was really late, and I was worried.
Okay, I will say a couple things about Too Many Cooks. I have seen Too Many Cooks now probably 30 times. Like, the day it came out, I think I watched it like 11 times.
Show off. This guy.
I'm not even showing off. I'm dangerously
ill. If you remember it's Scully, you'd be Michael Showalter.
There you go. The other thing is, 3 nights in a row, I had the most fucked up nightmare dreams because of watching that so many times. Mm-hmm. But
me too.
That to me is like the future of horror. I love that so much. Stuff that's like surreal, absurdist comedy that's so weird that it goes from being funny to being unnerving to being like borderline terrifying and then kind of back to funny again.
I just thought it was like ridiculous.
But like the first 5 minutes are just like, oh, this is a very funny bit. And then all of a sudden it goes beyond like this is a funny parody of Full House into being like truly the interior of a nightmare.
To the cat crawling across the linoleum to try and press the button when he's covered in blood.
I just love it.
His green cap, that smart. Was like, oh my god.
I was just like in love with it. As I watch it, I just kept being like, this is like, I'm trying not to hyperbolize, so if it sounds like I'm hyperbolizing, I honestly feel these things. That is the best film I've seen this year. It is the best film I've seen in a lot of years. It is like the greatest piece of art I have seen in so long. I am so into this thing.
I think my biggest problem is that I kind of knew the whole, like, killer thing before I watched it.
So I love that, though, for me, that it doesn't matter that if you know what's coming, because it's not,
it's
like...
It's not really plot.
It's not like it's a punchline, or, like, when he starts to kill people, you're just like, ha-ha, what a twist! It's more just, like, this surreal stream of consciousness that slowly begins to feel more and more... Because it's never, like... You're never scared of the killer. It's still always just like, what the fuck? But it just becomes unsettling. That, to me, like, the fact that it actually, like, feels... You feel slightly off skew after watching it.
I found, like, because I noticed that guy kept, like, appearing at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, he was more unsettling at the beginning than he was when he was, like, murdering people.
Yeah, because, I mean,
when,
like,
he was with his shirt off and he's just
which
I standing there in the window.
But then when it gets to the bit where, like, the music is, like, crazy and staticky and there's blood pouring in the sink and he's, like, eating the finger, I'm like, this is great.
That was pretty cool.
Like, and then because of that, I started, like, looking for more surreal horror comedy and discovered things like The Heart She Holler and...
Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt is in it, yeah. And Vernon Chapman and the PFR guys created it. And the other guys who made Wundershosen, which I also discovered after that.
You see a lot of Wundershosen in its entirety on YouTube.
Wundershosen
is like having your face hit repeatedly with a sledgehammer, but it was wielded just by puppets.
I feel like Wundershosen was like
amazing.
If David Lynch and Sam Raimi teamed up to make Sesame Street.
You kind of lost me when you said David Lynch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect you to be into this stuff, really, because you're not into surreal things, but, like, I've
like,
always
it
been
was,
into absurdism
it's like,
and surreal stuff.
I mean,
like it's like Ocean's 13.
It's sold.
And I think
it's a heist movie?
It's a heist, yeah. I think it goes back... I'm trying to think of, like, the first absurdist stuff I got into. It might be Monty Python.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, a crazy Monty Python fiend starting from, like...
VHS? Hello?
When A&E started re-releasing the series on VHS... Mom would buy me the new box set every time it came out. They put out 3 tapes at a time for like 6 to 8 months.
She would buy us. Us.
Okay. He says us.
Your mother's a saint, guys.
I still have those tapes too. But yeah, they put out 3 tapes and each tape would have, you know, 3 or 4 episodes on. So eventually we had the whole series. So I've seen every episode of The Flying Circus like a dozen times at least. Because I watched it over and over again.
He just copied me.
And then I guess also The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy has got some pretty good absurdist stuff in it. And now over the years, like, that's always the stuff I gravitate towards. Even movies like Airplane. Like, that is, like, absurdist humor that's deadpan.
You know what I usually gravitate to?
The largest object in the room? There you go.
Also, Airplane is the best movie of all time. What's your favorite Kareem Abdul-Jabbar movie role? Airplane?
Basketball?
Or basketball. That's his best
one. He's in other ones, too, I'm sure. But he's pretty funny in Airplane. But
he also played basketball.
But I like this new... this new trend of surreal comedy that becomes horror. One of these guys, I think it might even be Vernon Chapman, I can't remember now, I read this interview, but he made this movie called Final Flesh, and basically he found these companies that made, like, made-to-order fetish porn videos, where you would, like, write them a script, and then they would shoot whatever the fuck you wanted. So, like, whatever your weird fetish, you could just, like, write your own creep, weird porno. Like, I'm really into girls dressed as Nazis farting on the Quran or whatever the hell you want.
No, how did you know?
No one take that.
Are you quoting Ocean's 13?
Yeah, no one take that. I'm going to make that. But so anyway, he discovered these companies. So he wrote these four scripts. There's no like sex or nudity in them, but he just wrote the most horrifically bizarre, strange, surreal scripts and sent them to these four companies and had them make these videos. And he just like played it straight, like, no, this is what I'm into. And so they just made these videos. So it's like, and then he combined them all into this movie. So you watch these four shorts of like mind-numbing insanity as produced by these amateur fetish porn actors who like clearly aren't trying, like they're not in on the joke, like they don't get, it's not even supposed to be funny, it's more just like weird. And as I was reading about this, I was just like, oh, this sounds like the greatest thing ever attempted by a human being.
Other than Airplane.
So I haven't watched it yet, but I'm waiting for a night when Nicole goes out because she thinks I'm weird as it is. She watched one episode of The Heart She Holler with me and she's just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this
is
genius. Are you familiar with The Heart She Holler? Have you ever seen it?
No, I just...
I love it. Yeah. It is... I can't imagine you'd be into it, Ryan.
Oh, probably not.
You'd fucking hate it. Oh my god.
I just know Patton Oswalt
is on it.
Patton
Oswalt
doesn't really talk so much as just go,
hot
dog! Hot
dog! No, he does. He just starts to talk eventually. But yeah, hot dog is his main catchphrase. But yeah,
there's bits in it.
Bizarre.
The trailer for season two is the scariest trailer for anything I've ever seen. It just has Meemaw all in white, this old, like, hag.
Who's
completely
immortal, because she's cursed.
Completely drained of any sort of blood flow or anything. And then it just, she coughs out a bunch of blood onto the screen and it just bleeds down the Heart She Holler and her eyes don't
blink. She wears
blink,
these weird contacts, yeah.
And she just kind of cackles and then it stops. It's like a good minute of just staring at this.
Like, it is truly like Dada-esque crazy 11-minute comedy. But
I'm more into ABBA-esque comedy.
There you go.
Mamma mia, here I cough some blood.
I would like to hire the people who made the Mamma Mia musical to do one of these fetish
I have them in my phone.
Please contact them.
Yep.
Tell them I want to turn the Heart She Holler into a musical. Tell them I don't have the rights to it, nor do I know any of the people involved. But if they're interested,
I like how
might as well.
A lot of what you're into is described by Tim Heidecker as nightmare television.
Yes, thank you, because that was the other thing I wanted to mention, was Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories, which is my other favorite show right now. It's like, I love horror, it's my favorite genre, but I'm also never frightened by horror. There's very few horror movies that scare me. I've seen a lot of them. In fact, sometimes that's why I end up looking for the more extreme ones, I guess, just because I'm like, I want something that will actually upset me, because most horror films, for whatever reason, they just don't frighten me. Like, I'll sit with Nicole and I love watching them. It's not that I'm tough either, because I'm not. I cry in like Rudolph every year.
You know what movie scared me? That one in VHS with
the succubus. Yes, we know. We've discussed this many times.
You know what? That might be why I do remember being a little scared watching Too Many Cooks, because there's like the shots where he's in the background and that shit. Just like when she crawls around the corner of the steps. Oh, I got goosebumps right now.
That's a great movie.
Goosebumps.
And that even is probably why I like VHS 1 so much more than 2, because
apparently
2 is so polished.
Apparently 3 is just like more of a comedy. Yeah,
2 was just so polished and professional looking. Like, they were cool shorts, but 1 as a whole felt
Did
like
you
it could
them?
Very well have been just this weird found footage.
I feel like, though, what you're saying, trying to reach out and find more and more things, I mean, that's the path that leads to watching snuff. And you're going to be into the next week, you'll be like, I watched the sweetest snuff film.
Except
recognize
that
she dies at the end, but like, you know.
The difference is I recognize that these things are created. Like, I don't want to watch snuff. It's kind of like, I like watching wrestling, but I don't like watching UFC because I don't like the fact that they want to hurt each other. In wrestling, I know they're working together to put on a show, but in UFC, that guy wants to hurt that guy. I don't want to see that guy hurt that guy.
Oh my god. There was a UFC last week, and there was a female fight where one girl
punch the other girl in the ear. And you know how they have cauliflower ears?
Yeah.
Well, this girl's cauliflower on her ear burst. And it was like...
Ew.
It, like, blood, like, shot like up into the air.
That's the third time I've named
that. And then there's just, like, a hole in her ear. Where, well, like, you could see, like,
the sound comes in.
No, but, like, another one that was, like...
split. The second one!
Yeah, it was just, like, this weird,
really
like...
good.
It was, like, you know, when... Okay,
you draw a face is, wrong.
No.
This, you put two holes on
this is the best description. Okay. No, I'm not going to say it. It's so dumb.
Now you have to.
You, have you ever baked a pita?
Sure. And then, along with you on this.
Or, like, sure, or like something like that where then there's like an air bubble.
Oh yeah.
And then
yeah.
like if you like say if you just like cut the air bubble and then it's just kind of like two floppy pieces of pita. Okay. That's what her ear was like. Because all the like stuff was gone. Because it's just like a calcium and blood buildup basically.
Was it worth it?
I don't know. I only saw the pictures and I was like, that's grody. And then I didn't. But no, and then she lost. That's the best part.
Oh,
because
so
her ear got blown up. Her ear was almost falling off. And then Mick Foley tweeted her. And he's like, I know a thing or two about this.
Oh, so it was all okay then?
Yeah.
Because Mick Foley tweeted her.
And then he was like, have a nice day.
Nice. So anyway, Rob, no, I don't want to find like torture stuff. I'm just saying that I like absurdity and surrealness. And I like horror that could actually frighten and unsettle me. And the only stuff I've found that is able to do that is this kind of weird nightmare stuff.
Nightmare television.
Yeah.
Have you like nightmare stuff? Have you ever seen Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare Before yep. Christmas?
I've seen both of those, yeah.
They're really?
Yeah.
Have
you ever seen Nightmare on Elm Street, Rob? Or any of its sequels? I have them all on DVD.
I've seen like number...
Number three is the best one.
Have you ever seen Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze?
I have. I went on a date with my wife to see that in the theater when
Sorry,
it first came
who?
Out. My wife!
Thank you.
Yeah, it was one of the earlier movies we saw together when we were dating.
And so that's the secret.
The first movie we ever went to a theater to see was The Animal with Rob Schneider.
Oh,
that's...
Which, at the time, I enjoyed. Mostly, all I remember from it now
John C. McGinley.
No, what was he in that movie? All I remember from that movie is the scene with Norm Macdonald. When he's in like, the mob with the torches.
I just... The only thing I remember from that movie, because I never saw it, was the poster.
And the girl in it was the girl from Survivor. Like, she wasn't even an actress. She was, one of the contestants in season one of Survivor, I think.
Yeah, Jerry something.
Jeff Probst.
Yeah, it was Jeff Probst.
It was Jeff Probst.
It was the sordid love story of Jeff Probst and Rob Schneider.
I've never seen a man so cruel wearing such shorts.
Is that a bit? Or is it...
No. He's so mean.
Just a statement.
Jeff Probst is? You know he's not doing it, right?
So, like, but he's wearing those shorts.
I like Jeff Probst. He's the host of the greatest event in television history.
Oh, yeah. He
Rock and Roll Jeopardy?
No, this show, the greatest event in television history.
Rock and Roll Jeopardy?
He was the host of Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
Was he?
I think so. It was something like that. It was like a Jeopardy
show. I like
show
you think that
music.
I'd be like, yeah, the greatest event in the history of television was Jeff Probst host Rock and Roll Jeopardy. Yeah.
I don't know.
Come on.
I just love seeing him, like... Seeing him yell at contestants, and then it kind of zooms out, and he's got these really hairy knees.
Wait, have you ever watched Survivor? When does Jeff Probst ever yell at a contestant?
I was watching this.
Are you thinking of like,
he's just like very stern?
I think you're thinking of like Simon Cowell on American Idol.
Wait,
I think you've
are you watching
Jeff
season?
Probst?
I was. Yeah.
Every
they still make that show?
Yeah, they're
oh
on like season 28.
They make two seasons a year.
Every
because people watch that
sneeze,
shit.
Yeah, my mother.
Sorry, I have a cold.
He wasn't lying. He sneezed
Whoa!
Twice.
Whoa.
Two times.
But anyway, every year
that's
I
more
get,
than any of us have sneezed.
God, every year I go into a pool with like my mom and her friends.
Yeah.
And it's like they do too. They do Survivor and Amazing Race.
Wait,
and
every year you get into a pool with your
and
mom
we watch.
And, okay,
we watch
oh guys.
Survivor in a pool.
Mom, I can't get down.
I'm scared.
I don't have my water
I can't
wings.
Touch the bottom.
Jeff Probst is going to make me drown.
I was really interested in development reference.
But
I thought you didn't like the funny thing.
But anyways, I get like I used to just get like put into the pool and
did they take
out? Sink or swim, boy.
Yeah.
He shoves you.
No, but yeah, I pay like $20.
The joke is the pool here has two meanings.
Yeah, like pool,
yeah,
like pool, like that Paul Newman movie with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it's called The Color of Money, and it's the sequel to another Paul Newman movie called The Hustler,
which was like
which is a sequel to another Paul Newman movie called Slapshot.
which was that a sequel to Newman's own salad dressing.
None of these. Yep. The first two things I said were
Which they are correct if you look at them in Memento times.
No, that still doesn't make sense.
They are.
And salad dressing is a sequel to mustard. It's a sauce. All
right. No, I know what it is. Thank you. I know what mustard is.
So anyway, I get put into these pools.
Thank you, Chef Emeril Lagasse.
And one time I won, and I don't watch it.
Would we call mustard a sauce?
It's a condiment. What is a condiment if not a sauce?
I mean, a spread,
I don't want to live in the world.
What is a spread if not a sauce?
I mean, is mayo a sauce?
But you can spread barbecue sauce.
No, mayo is the...
Yeah, well, you can...
Blood of demons sauce is the worst thing
in the
world.
Of good old JR... Hashtag sauce it. All of his tweets end with hashtag sauce it. He owns a barbecue sauce company.
Which is the most Oklahoman thing in the world.
Oklahoma.
Because of good old JR, I know that the Sooners are a thing. The Oklahoma Sooners.
University of Oklahoma Sooners.
Fuck off. Who cares?
Hey, don't be mean
sauce
to my friend Ryan.
Hashtag sauce it.
They're not the Alabama Crimson Tide.
I think I pulled some news this week. There's a couple... I did pull something that we have to talk about because...
USC Trojans.
My mind... I don't understand... Like, I really need to get some perspective from all of you on how exactly this could possibly work. Apparently, they're adapting to be a new Las Vegas musical, Duck Dynasty. They're turning Duck Dynasty into a Las Vegas musical.
I feel like they missed that boat by about 2 years.
I can guarantee you that one of the songs... The percussion is going to be gunshots.
Now
there's going to be shotguns.
Apparently, interactive in Las Vegas musical and not a Broadway musical, which makes a little bit more sense.
It sounds like
a rap song.
Very, very strange.
I bet you anything. At least one of those songs has percussion.
It's literally
going
to be called the Duck Commander Family Musical, a multimedia spectacle combining video of the Robertsons hunting, family anecdotes.
Is it affiliated with Duck Dynasty?
And a 14-song score.
Why
mixes
are they calling it? Why aren't they calling it Duck Dynasty?
Because Duck Commander is the name of their duck call company.
Oh.
Have you never seen Duck Dynasty, Rob? I've met one of the guys.
Learn your duck. Hey, where are they doing this?
I know
this
they've got beers.
Las Vegas.
Which hotel?
I don't know.
Well, you've given a good description, so I'm going.
I
hope it's at the Circus Circus.
When asked about the music, it's supposed to be... Okay, first of all, AV Club, do some checking here, because it's supposed to say composer, but it says composter.
I bet you that's on purpose.
It's just like a guy in the alley who's just like, it's my job to make sure we don't throw away any biodegradable stuff. Anyhow, this is his quote of the music. I think the expectation is that it'll be all chicken picking stuff and banjos.
Chicken picking?
But what we're trying to do is pull out as much heart, humor, and sincerity as we can to keep people surprised. Tell me, composer Stephen Norris. What's chicken picking stuff?
I don't think that's a thing. I think he's the first person to ever call music chicken.
I think he
just
had a one
singing, saying the words chicken picking.
I think he just had a mini stroke.
Who, him or me? The composter.
You constantly do.
The giant one.
He just
do the backstroke. Now do the mini stroke.
I do find it funny that such a famously outgoingly, openly homophobic family is putting out a musical. I mean, not to be stereotypical, but the musical is traditionally the home territory of...
Would you say it's the homo territory?
The homo territory. I wouldn't rhyme because that's offensive.
But it's not. It's a play on words.
An offensive play on words.
No, it's not.
Stop being such a...
You set it up. I hit it out of the park. It's a fastball up in the zone.
Anyway, the point is...
that was funny, man.
I was hoping there's at least one song about sodomy.
About sodomy?
Chicken picking my butt. Chicken picking my butt.
Yeah.
Chicken picking the hole you pick my asshole.
Hold on. What
That's
was my joke? What was my joke?
Too, is it's like, sex with men, not okay. Sex with chickens, A-okay.
What was my joke that was so bad? But your joke was so great.
What one?
The chicken picking butt one.
Actually, I'm not saying my joke was
no,
great.
No, it was
I'm
pretty
just saying
funny.
My joke was a joke. Like, it fell flat, but it was
mine
cool
was
joke.
Funny, though. What was it?
Oh, yeah, it was that.
Yeah,
good.
It was so memorable. But anyway, I don't know about you guys, but I'm very excited about it.
I think we should all go on a field trip to Broadway. To a Broadway!
But it's not on Broadway, it's in Vegas. So, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, my God, let's go to Vegas.
If you think about it, though, there's a lot about the Duck Dynasty family that is, you know, kind of gay. Like, beards.
Yeah.
That's it?
That's all I got.
Ducks?
I don't know.
I just think that we have gone, like, in the words of Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, Duck Dynasty has gone full retard.
I think they went full retard when they were on pillowcases. I think they're already so stupid.
That show was popular 2 years ago. Like, do people still watch it?
I think people do, though. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it's still huge.
But it was like,
don't you remember when like, they were like, hey, Phil, you can't say hateful things, and people were like, you're breaking his right to free speech!
I totally remember that's a certain person.
Everyone on Facebook had that shit that was like, I stand with Phil.
There are a lot of people on my Facebook who are all about the Phil.
Bunch
They're
of
all about that Phil. No homo.
Fill the hole.
Anyway.
Fill the hole.
But yeah, it's crazy that we...
That show,
as a society, are so into these guys.
You know what? 2 years ago, cha-ching, moneymaker.
It's still making money, though.
That, but the Broadway show, or the Vegas show.
That's something I don't get, is like, what?
They missed it by
2 years ago.
Trying to go
that their audience is going to be like, yeah, we got to go see the Duck Dynasty musical.
You know what, though?
Well, if it's described as a chicken pick musical, then we're going to get
Lurline an electric drive.
Now, the last time I went to Vegas, it was also the NASCAR weekend. So it might have been a little more hillbilly than usual.
My favorite NASCAR thing ever was the South Park episode where Carmen gets into NASCAR.
Longest left turn.
We got to turn left, and the whole
the
thing is like
the press conference
NASCAR,
is amazing.
You have to eat enough Vagisil, you get brain damage.
Yep. the press conference is the only part of that I've seen, but it's so funny.
It is a pretty funny episode. But
I've actually been to an NASCAR.
Anyway,
race.
Just they in closing, the guys from Duck Dynasty are fucking pieces of shit, and they shouldn't be on TV, and you shouldn't like them, and you're assholes.
I feel the same way about Jeff Probst.
Speaking of things that are incredibly stupid.
His shorts are so short.
You know who else had short shorts? Bob Weir from The Grateful Dead. Okay, but so here's the thing. Marvel has been, like, expanding into novels, literally, adapting certain storylines, and then they've had some original novels on characters. Like, I think there's a Captain Marvel novel coming out, there's a She-Hulk one, there's a Black Widow one. They just announced the next novel in their prose line, and they are grossly overestimating the reading comprehension of the audience for this character. I'm going to be snobby right now, but I, for one, don't think that a Deadpool novel is going to do well. Because let's face it, you read Deadpool because you can't read. Stupid people like Deadpool.
I have
fuck
every,
Deadpool. I'm sorry.
I have every issue
Deadpool.
Of the
Poseidon
Dragon. I don't
get
rap.
It. I like Poseidon. I just don't get Deadpool.
It's, but also I think that's more of a visual.
But come on, do you
gag,
think that
humor,
okay,
character?
You like Deadpool? You like Deadpool as well? Okay, you guys are the exceptions in my case. Like, I actually like you, and you seem intelligent. But
I'm very happy you're here because normally you just feel like you're a fucking idiot.
It seems that whenever I'm talking to somebody and Deadpool is their favorite character, they're usually fucking stupid.
You know who's my... Deadpool's not my favorite character. It's
Wolverine. I just
Wolverine.
Don't get it. And someone explained to me, oh, he's like a Spider-Man who swears and kills people. I'm like, how is that a good thing? Why is that a selling point?
Isn't that something counterintuitive?
That sounds horrible.
I don't know. I like it because it's one of those things where you just don't take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
I do get that. Like, I like... It can be irreverent. And I do find irreverent Deadpool a lot better than, like...
I totally get people who love Deadpool. However, I don't get trying to market Deadpool as a novel. Because, again, no one's going to...
Mm-hmm.
No Deadpool fans
I'm also,
are going to fucking read a Deadpool
I actually don't really care that much about Deadpool one or the other, but it's funnier if I sound really angry on podcast.
Well, fucking break the fourth
it's
wall.
It's offensive.
Did you guys see, like, the footage leak or whatever from the movie?
I think I saw, like, 30 seconds of it and went, I don't care about this.
See, I
thought... Why am I watching this?
Yeah! I thought
like,
it was cool.
It was really
cool. I mean,
really cool.
Like,
I just...
I also like Ryan Reynolds, so I'm so in for that.
Ryan Reynolds is
too.
The...
Well, he played Deadpool already.
Yeah, no, but didn't they make him...
That wasn't... Yeah. That was a really good move. Fox. But, that movie was... No,
what movie
the
was
studio.
That?
That was
Wolverine.
That was a bad movie.
I haven't seen any of the Wolverine movies.
You're not missing
them. Yeah. I saw the first one. I didn't watch it again, but when I watched X-Men Origins Wolverine, I didn't hate it. I was just like, yeah, this is better than X-Men 3.
It does have the best walking away from an explosion ever, though. When, like, he blows up the barn for some reason, then he walks away without looking. blows up the barn.
It's amazing. Movie, yeah. Doesn't he blow it up by like driving the motorcycle into it or something?
I thought he like knocks over the leaks the gas and then throws a cigar onto it or something.
I don't know. It's rad
though. I do remember it being kind of dumb.
The guy from Lost was in it.
Which guy?
There's a lot of
not Penny's boat guy.
What's that?
The guy who was also a hobbit.
Oh, I don't know why I'm asking this. I never actually watched Lost, so I wouldn't know who any of these
He played are. Charlie.
Charlie. There you
Charlie.
Go.
He looks like our friend Charlie.
I have one more funny story.
What was the song from Lost?
You all everybody.
This
you
combines all of our interests.
Acting like sports, you're stupid people. Wearing books, expensive clothes.
And stupidity. So DC, as we all know.
You all everybody.
What are you singing?
You all everybody.
That's not an answer to my question. What are you singing?
That's from Lost.
That's from Lost.
Really? What is
it's
it?
Drive Shaft song.
Is it the theme song to
it's,
Lost?
It's,
I thought the theme song
it's
was
Charlie. It's Charlie's one hit wonder.
Oh yeah, he was in a, like an Oasis band, and they had
like Drive Shaft. Only plays in like Beautiful Dunes.
Yep.
Do you guys know that Brian K. Vaughan did writing on
like seasons 4 and 5? Yeah.
He
basically
that.
Like showed up for all the time travel stuff, made it super sci-fi, and then fucked off when it was his responsibility to end it all and make it make sense. He was like, "Yeah, fuck it, see ya," then left.
Didn't he also do something for, like, the OC?
Or am I thinking somebody else? No, that's... You're thinking of Alan Heinberg.
The two guys... And also the two guys... Two of the writers from the OC, I believe. Oh, no, I'm thinking of... One of the writers from the original Flash TV series, his daughter is Rachel Bilson, and she was on the OC. And then they did a run on the Flash when Bart Allen was the grown-up Flash. And it wasn't very good, but it got better when they left and Mark Guggenheim took over.
Alan Heinberg, one of the guys who created the OC, wrote Young Avengers.
He did. And he also wrote a Wonder Woman run that wasn't very good.
I like the OC, guys. That is the best show of all time.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you that DC Comics is suing a Spanish soccer team because their logo looks kind of like a bat. No, it's true. Spanish football club Liga Giants Valencia are being sued by DC Comics.
It's just the silhouette of a bat. You don't own the silhouette of a bat.
You own
a silhouette of a bat.
Because, like, this looks more like the YMCA logo.
It does. That's really dumb. Are they listening?
That's stupid.
As they've been pointing out, the bat itself is a traditional part of Spanish heraldry dating back to at least the 1300s. And that logo has been in use since 1919.
What the fuck does...
20
years
before
Batman
was invented.
Does DC have going around...
Didn't they sue a town or something called Batman?
Yeah.
They did. I don't know if they sued them, but there was a town called Batman.
I think the town sued DC, something like that.
Either way, it was hilarious.
Yeah. Batman Turkey.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a town called Batman in the country of Turkey. It wasn't the crazy Elseworlds version of Batman where he was just a turkey.
There's a town in Newfoundland,
like
I think,
Porker.
Called Dildo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a what?
Yeah, there's a town in Newfoundland called Dildo.
Good.
I've been to a town in Utah called a Hurricane.
Great.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
You know what you should do?
Is.
You should stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
There's a song where the Arrogant Worms have a song about it called Spend a Night in Dildo. Yeah, it's in Newfoundland.
Whenever you're driving back to Calgary from the bridge...
Blackie Vulcan!
Do you laugh when you see the sign that says Blackie Vulcan? Because it makes me laugh every time.
There's a few other great like town names. There's a fucking...
Blackie Vulcan!
How
are
you doing?
There's a town in Austria called Fucking. A town in France called Anus.
Good.
A town in France also called Condom.
Thank God.
There's also Knob End in England.
Knob End.
Effin in Ireland. Twat in Scotland. Intercourse, Pennsylvania. Bald Knob, West Virginia. Wankham, Germany. Germany. Fuck! Wankham, Germany.
Jury? The Ruhr Jury.
The Ruhr Jury. And Moron, Mongolia. My favorite, I think, is probably Intercourse, Pennsylvania. But Dildo Newfoundland is pretty good. Here's a picture of a road sign to Dildo. This is really good for a podcast.
I feel like...
I like
Moron Mongolia is something that someone's grandfather would say if they came down to like see all the kids at Christmas time hanging out and making noise. Is this Moron Mongolia around here? Get the fucking bed! That's
how everyone talks. Why is he the Duck Dynasty guy again?
I got a musical coming out and I want you to come by.
Grandpa, it's Christmas!
Well, Merry fucking Christmas! You're a Moron Mountain over here.
Moron Mountain?
Come on, ride a
back and roller coaster.
Wasn't Moron Mountain the name of the amusement park in Calvin and Hobbes?
No, it was in Three Ninjas.
No, that's Mega Mountain. It was Three Ninjas hiding in Mega Mountain. Jim Varney's the bad guy.
It was that movie where that family goes across America to
RV with Robin Williams. Are we there yet with Ice-T?
Moron Mountain, but it's closed, and then John
Vacation
Kennedy is there.
What was the name of the amusement park in Calvin and Hobbes?
I love you, Beth Cooper.
Brinkley. Kirsty Brinkley? Is that from Vacation?
Kirsty Brinkley was in Vacation, yes.
Where they go to Moron Mountain.
Yeah, and then she marries Billy Joel.
And then Joe Candy is the...
Joe Candy. Tell me, Ryan, who's Joe Candy?
And Ford Chase.
You're an asshole. It's...
Oh, I guess.
Don't laugh at that. Ford Chase. Yes, we get it.
The only funny thing about that
joke? Have been like,
that Rob didn't get it.
You should have been like Oldsmobile Chase or something, though. Like
Mercury Chase.
Mercury Chase actually does sound like a superhero name.
Yeah.
Mercury Chase.
Dibs.
Veronica Mars and Mercury Chase.
Veronica Mars and Perry Saturn.
Oh my god! I would watch the fuck out of that because I actually know who Perry Saturn is.
Only if he had the horse sub. No, that was Chavo.
See, that's even better because I don't know who that is.
Perry Saturn
only if he had the horse.
Was a WCW wrestler who was in WWF for a brief time and wore a furry hat
and also got shot in the face.
Yeah,
like recently.
Who is it? Buff Bagwell who became a male prostitute. There's a wrestler in the 90s for WCW named Buff Bagwell, and now Buff the Stuff Bagwell, and now he's a professional male escort.
What did you say Perry Saturn does now?
He got shot in the face.
And he has a face tattoo also.
Yeah. Perry Saturn, that's Perry Saturn. See if you can find a picture of his furry hat,
great.
Or his face tattoo.
Him wearing the furry hat was the best.
That's just a guy with a face tattoo.
That's him. And he actually looks a lot like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Kind of.
With a face tattoo. And really horrible tattoos, actually.
Why are they taking
so long? I always find it so weird.
He had the mop. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Because the horse was Chavo.
Didn't they do a whole thing where, like, the mop and head got, like... Yeah, Perry Saturn was terrible. He wasn't even a very good wrestler, either. I just remember a storyline where, like, the mop and head ran away together. Head was the name of a mannequin head that Al Snow carried with him that said, "Help me" on it.
And then he could always come out and go, "What does everybody want?" And then they'd go, "Head."
Because in 1998, wrestling audiences were all 14 years old.
I was even young. I was 10.
In 1998, I was...
My parents did a bad job.
I was only
10.
I was 11, yeah. It's crazy to think that like the peak time of me watching wrestling was a time when I probably should not have been watching wrestling.
No.
There was some pretty bad stuff happening in those days.
I remember so many times giving kids figure four leg locks off the corner post of the playground in elementary school.
That's pretty cool, though.
But it was okay, bro.
Did you like that? I sent Ryan a picture earlier this week, like GIF of Taylor Swift doing the DX crotch chop.
Yeah, I did see that.
I
love Taylor
Swift, like Triple
guys.
H's new
I can't help it anymore.
Gonna hate. I love Taylor Swift. All of her songs are about like...
That song did it for me.
To have a boyfriend.
She's grown up a lot, though. Like,
I mean, like, It's not that I expect her lyrics to be better because she's like a child, but still.
Like, if you just like compare her stuff like now compared to her earlier stuff. Just,
well, yeah,
because like,
now it's more like, "I don't need my boyfriend anymore. We're never gonna date ever, ever, ever."
I gotta go get those.
Oh, yeah.
Which Pokemon are you getting?
Sapphire.
Okay, I'll get the other one and then we'll trade Pokemon.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
Sweet.
Well, thanks for joining us.
He'll try to rip
you off.
We're
going to wrap up here shortly.
Do you have X or Y?
I have X.
We can still battle.
I remember when Red and Blue came out.
I actually finished it.
Really? It's so good.
That was good.
I remember when Yellow
Mario
came
City?
Out.
And
you started
Pokemon Red
and
Blue were the only ones
I
ever crossed
so frustrated because I'd always get lost. And
yeah.
I can't. Like, every time I would restart, I'd get to that one point. I was like, I can't. Like,
I don't know from Pokemans, but have a good time.
Thank you.
Take care.
Enjoy yourself. See ya.
I have a Pokemon game. It's black-ish.
I have put in so many
hours.
It's
that bad show.
At least like 80 hours into that game. It's the greatest.
I saw someone tweet the other day because one of my friends is talking about a video game they wanted to play, and someone else was like, "It's pretty good. It's only about 30 hours though." And I was like, "I cannot imagine spending 30 hours playing a video game."
Was that
about Far Cry 4 or something, or Dragon Age.
I just remember being like, I realize that's not a long time for a video game, because I'm sure I used to put in those kind of hours, but now I'm just like, I started Bioshock, I've played 4 hours, I haven't touched it in like 3 weeks.
You should see my time played on WoW.
That's the only one I can understand.
It is. It is.
That is a job, not a
insane.
Game.
It is.
Are you playing again?
Yeah, I've been playing the new expansion a little bit. It's fun. It's.
What's the new expansion even called?
It's called Warlords of Draenor.
How many level 90s do you have?
They're level 100s now.
Level 100s max, but 90s I have. Oh god, I don't know, because I have a bunch of level 85s from that expansion, Cataclysm, that I never bothered leveling to 90.
So
I think
this
I have
the
four
fourth
level 90s.
Expansion then.
There was Burning Crusade, Wrath, Cataclysm, Pandaria. This is fifth.
Fifth. Yeah, I forgot about the Panda one, right?
Panda one was okay.
Pandas.
Ever since Wrath, they like the storylines have been garbage. Yeah.
Okay.
Northrend with
Wrath
like,
was
the
like
Lich King.
First.
No, Burning Crusade. was the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Burning Crusade had a cool story. Wrath had a like excellent story.
I remember that was the last one I played.
Since then, this one actually kind of has a cool story, but it involved time travel, which. But it's
they're
it's
making
cool.
a Warcraft movie.
Yeah,
Duncan Jones
and
it.
It's like it's got a really cool cast. It's got like the guy from Vikings is playing Lothar, and Ben Foster is playing Medivh, who's like a mage.
Who's playing Thrall?
I can't remember who it is, but it's a guy. It's like a motion capture thing.
Hmm.
Is it Thrall or Durotan?
It's the guy who does all the motion. It's Andy Serkis.
It's probably Andy Serkis.
Probably.
Yeah.
No, I can't remember. They just showed the guys.
Have you heard
voice.
Of Dota?
Yeah.
What's Dota?
It's a game on Steam. That's
I've heard of Dada, but Dota?
It's.
But Dodo.
There was a game on Steam that I was just looking at and being like, well, that sounds fun. But then I remember I don't play video games, so I didn't buy it.
Dota is like based off of a
Warcraft
3.
Yeah.
Because it was this map called Death of the Ancients,
yeah,
and then now
well,
and it was
Dota.
Like
yeah,
and it now and it became like so popular that now there's like an actual just a game called Dota,
oh,
but
cool.
I don't know if it's licensed.
It might
it's
just
not
be like
no,
because
Blizzard has one that they're making that is like licensed with all their like characters from like StarCraft and Warcraft and.
I still play a lot of
the other fucking
too.
Thing.
I suck. It's really fun.
I have never played StarCraft in my life.
So I because a few weeks back so I was like I haven't played video games in years. I should play some video games. So I started playing the first Bioshock, and it's really cool. And I got like 4 maybe 5 hours into it over like a week, and I haven't looked at it since.
It's like a really steampunky game, isn't it?
It's not that steampunky because I actually think steampunk is really stupid.
Yeah, me too. I fucking hate steampunk.
I don't get it. It doesn't. Steampunk is never a selling point for me. Like I know for some people it's like. It's this, but steampunk. I'm like, okay.
Like, what?
But it's not
is steampunk like electricity bad?
It's more like
water pressure good.
No, it's not water pressure. It's steam power. Like Victorian steampunk. It's like Victorian. It's like in the Victorian age, rather than having an industrial revolution, there was no mechanized or electronicized stuff. It's all just like steam powered, like pneumatic tubes and shit.
Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
But Bioshock takes place underwater in this like underwater village that I guess has some steampunk. Visuals to it, but
maybe it's Bioshock Infinite that is more
maybe I don't
Bioshock
know.
Infinite is not steampunk at all. I
really?
Think. No, it's like you're like a sky
cool.
something.
It was
something.
Pretty cool, but like I'm glad that I didn't buy a console like I was thinking of doing. But had I bought a console, all I would have bought was WWE 2K5, which I probably would still play.
Apparently, it's not that great.
I just want to play a wrestling game. I should just buy my N64 and play WCW NWO Revenge.
Yeah, you should.
That
game
was the
bad.
Shit.
I might buy 2K5 or 15 or whatever.
If you do, I'll come play it with you.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to like play as Daniel Bryan or create the Green Bastard from Parts Unknown, which I've seen people have done online. Because apparently, like the Build a Wrestler career mode is really good, or at least like you can build a wrestler really well, and you can play as Sting. Sting was one of the.
That doesn't really do anything for
me.
I've never
either,
been a Sting guy.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm more of a Phil Collins guy.
You know what
I always think of Sting and Phil Collins
recently?
As the same person. I don't know.
I just, for the first time ever, I realized, I can't believe I'd never seen it, but I watched Mick Foley and Randy Orton's match from WrestleMania 22.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking good match.
They had a WrestleMania
It was
match.
Their, like, hardcore match. Was it at WrestleMania?
Or is that Backlash?
Backlash, sorry. I'm thinking of Backlash.
You know where that was?
In Edmonton? Did you see that match?
I was there for that match,
sir.
Because
that is an amazing match. And
it
that's
was.
Also, like, the best shape Mick Foley has ever been in.
If I remember it, now I haven't watched it since, and I haven't really thought about it. Is that the one where they were, where he was going to light the thing on fire, and then Bischoff came out and was like, no, the fire marshal said you can't light your baseball bat on fire.
No, he does light it on fire. Oh, he hits him in the face.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
But Bischoff does come out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, yeah, because that's like the only match I can remember about that.
It's a really good
match. That was really
cool.
And,
like, to see how in shape Foley got for it is crazy. Because, like, even 2 years later when you see the Edge match, which I love that match too, he's not in as good a shape as he was for the Orton match. That Orton match was unreal, though. Like, that might be the best match Orton ever had.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
he's had some.
I mean, I'm obviously a little biased because Foley is my favorite. But Foley is good.
He's good.
I also, this week, rewatched the Cactus Jack Triple H Hell in a Cell. Which is also good. Like, I obviously my favorite is still the street fight, but Hell in a Cell is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen. I'm sure I probably watched it when it
happened. You've seen the clips. Like, you've seen the back body drop where he goes through the cage and the ring collapses. But, like, Orton takes some sick bumps in that match.
He takes a tack bump.
Sick bump, bro.
He takes one off the stage, too, doesn't he?
And both of them take some good bumps in that
match. This is all from memory from something that happened 10 years ago. And the only reason I know that it was 10 years ago, because I remember a few times, it was during the Flames playoff run, and a few times people started chanting, "Go Flames, go," and were immediately drowned out with boos. It was amazing.
That's funny.
As an Oilers fan.
But also, first of all, what the fuck are you doing chanting for a hockey team at a wrestling pay-per-view?
It was just...
Like, when we're watching the pay-per-views at home, how much do we bitch when the crowd sucks?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to chant something other than what's happening in the ring, chant Fandango's theme song.
Yeah, please. Or, just stop chanting for... Stop, like, I hate the fucking, like, Randy Savage.
Yeah, those ones. Or
and, like, JBL. Michael Cole.
Those ones are stupid.
Yeah.
The CM Punk ones are even stupider because it's like, he's not coming back, you assholes. Mm-hmm. It's so funny to go on Reddit as well and see people's prediction threads, and like, for every pay-per-view, everyone's like, CM Punk will return. I'm like,
just search for it's Mets fan and then the number 4 and then ever. He's like a user that's always on Squared Circle, and or is it Squared Circle? And he's been like verified by mods and stuff. He worked for WWE, and he always talks about how like, yeah, Punk's not coming back, and he just like does AMAs that are like,
apparently AJ's leaving too.
Cool. Yeah, I heard that.
She's gonna leave in her.
He says that she's weird.
I think.
And he said that Big Show was a dick.
Did you see that fucking weird match on Monday where, like, for some reason, because of the whole stupid personal assistant thing, Nikki Bella made Brie dress like AJ Lee for a match?
No, I
and like,
kind of
never really explained
but...
why she wanted her to do that. Other than they were just like, let's make Brie wear AJ's costume. That would be funny.
I mean,
so stupid. And also, and of course, AJ came out for guest commentary like she does in every episode.
True. And then she just sounds
like... Did you see the NXT match, Sami Zayn, Adrian Neville title match?
No, I've heard it's like amazing, though.
It is amazing.
Kevin Steen has a name, Kevin Owens.
Yes.
And apparently it's a tribute to Owen Hart, because he loves Owen Hart, That's cool. Hey, guys, what was your favorite?
My favorite is Mick Foley and Triple H in the Street Fight, Royal Rumble 2000.
What was your favorite? Now it's just really vague, and we can just say
anything. You can say anything you want.
I have been listening to the new Lagwagon album.
Cool.
Lagwagon?
It's called
Hang.
Are they still in Fat Wreck?
Yeah.
I just assumed they were.
Record in almost a decade.
Are there other punk labels still? Other than Epitaph?
There's Hellcat, and there's Anti, and there's Nitro, and there's whatever the name of Joey Shithead's label is, and there's G7 Welcoming Committee, and there's... Yes.
I'm cool. So not punk anymore.
I was never punk. I did find a cool video, some cool like early demos of the Ramones, and some. Also, I found the on YouTube you can watch the entire like early demo tapes for London Calling.
Mm.
I love the Clash, so.
I used to like the Ramones solely because is it Johnny Ramone that played guitar? Hated guitar solos, and I was like, "That's cool."
It's
because
he couldn't play them.
Yeah,
that's it.
But he's not wrong.
But Rob also hates guitar solos, which he's also wrong about. But
I like
the Ramones because you don't have to know any of the lyrics to any of their songs to play them live because they didn't either. Like, you listen to local live, they just go "Way Beach." Rob and I just did all their songs.
You guys should be the Groomones.
Why? Oh,
because of your last name.
Because we're about getting married.
What have you
to the job?
You is my favorite Bachelorhood.
Yeah. Is that why you got that sick mustache?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about what girls think about my mustache. Yuck.
They don't think anything.
I don't know. There's this.
I don't know. It suits you, bro.
There's this. You know what? The worst thing about November is I always grow a mustache just to prove to my brother that I can grow a better mustache than him, even though he's 2.5 years older than me. But also, it's about this time. It's about three quarters. Yep. It's about three quarters of the way through November. I always get that thought. You know, I don't look that bad with a mustache.
You don't.
And then, like, half a week later, I'm like, you're fucking ridiculous, Ryan. You're a piece of shit. And then
no, I shave. You should keep that mustache.
I actually shave, like, don't most of my skin
stash.
Off.
It's don't weird. Trash the stash. Keep it, bro. And it'll get you a...
It's so itchy.
Once... Here's the thing about a beard. Or a mustache.
It fights. It's itchy and fights and fights until and it fights.
Gets long enough, then it's not itchy anymore.
It's itchy and scratchy. It fights. It fights.
Well, that's another show.
Fights. The itchy and scratchy stash.
And Poochie Show. Until, okay, that was a good, I think that's a good time. It's a good enough time to call it a night. Some people have to go buy Pokemon. Some people have to go do other things.
I have to work in the morning.
I do too, and I have a cold.
In the morning.
I'm going to see the Flatliners on Sunday. That's my favorite.
I know,
guys.
I can't believe you're choosing punk rock over wrestling.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I haven't been to a concert or a show in well over years.
Does punk rock well, guess, count?
Yeah, punk rock singer.
Because if it does, that's then that was last time I saw. If it doesn't, then Weird Al Yankovic 2 years ago was the last concert I saw.
I was actually going to go see my good friend Robbie play on Friday. Was it Friday that you played?
Yes.
Florida City? I was going to with the Hot Man, but then we ended up both being sick.
Yeah.
That's potentially.
And then I told Rob that his
songs are just
going brown. I was bummed
that I couldn't
go because,
like, the ship is a fun place, but I don't particularly like it as a venue or as a restaurant. But the Broken City I like a lot, and I would have liked
Broken City is a cool venue.
That was very
yeah.
fun.
I like it as a venue.
Anyway.
I've had way too many nights there.
Yeah. Anyway, until next week, I'm Joey G.
Robbie G.
I'm Sting.
Catchphrase!
What do I say?
I don't know. Fuck, every time with this shit. I'm gonna look it up now.
Every time with the fucking catchphrase shit.
I say catchphrase and then you say something.
Can we like make a movie?
Yeah. Haven't we been doing that? Sure.
I just want to be
making a movie for your ears this whole time.
Ooh.
Right?
Ah, right. I get it.
Oral.
Hey, no, but I'm serious, guys. Can we like... Can we... Well, there's us fucking it up again. What's... No, can we make a movie? I'm not soaking. Not joking.
You're not soaking.
You can ride a bike outside.
Okay.
Come on, just like you thought it was going to be.
Okay. Until next week, I'm Joey G.
Heidi.
Ryan.
Justin Higgs.
Robbie G.
Catchphrase, signing off. Right, you just screamed. Okay.
Yes,
right. All right. We're going to get this right if it kills. Okay, here we go.
I should have went with my instinct.
Until next week, I'm Joey G.
Robbie G.
I'm Ryan.
Catchphrase, signing off.